is what's small and brown with, you know, furry with a bushy tail and collects nuts. And the class kind of looked at her for a few minutes, being hesitant, and finally one of them answers and says, "Well, we're in church, so the answer's supposed to be Jesus, but boy, it sure sounds like a squirrel." So I'm telling you that because I'm going to ask you a question that I want you to evaluate honestly in your life, not just, you know, the church answer that you know you're supposed to give. And sometimes, you know, the answer you're supposed to give is okay because you're trying to lead yourself in the right direction. But I'm going to ask you a question that I want you to think about in terms of evaluate. Here's the question. What would you be willing to give or to give up in order to know God more than you do right now? What would you be willing to give or to give up in order to know God more than you do right now? Have you ever thought, and you probably have, I think most believers have, but have you ever thought, I wish I could hear God's voice better than I do right now? Maybe you've thought, I wish that when I read the word that it impacted my life deeper than it does now. And so the question I have is, what are you willing to give or to give up in order to see that accomplished in your life? We're in a series, right, that's asking the question. It's called Getting Over Yourself. It's asking the question, what if it's not about me? What if it's about Jesus and then others and then me? Because this is God's design for our life. Jesus himself even modeled it. Jesus says things like, I came to serve, not to be served. He modeled a life that looked to bless other people and not to be blessed. He loved people, even knowing that love wouldn't necessarily be returned to him. Jesus modeled for us this life of self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice is valued within God's kingdom. Now, all of humanity is born with a sin nature. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But all of humanity is born with a sin nature. And each and every one of us has that. And our sin nature is selfish and does not want to sacrifice self. When I became a Christian in my late teens, the first church that I attended, I remember my pastor defining sin as this. He'd said, all sin is essentially just selfishness. It is doing what you desire, what you want, over what God wants, what you think is best for you, over what God says is best, or what's best for somebody else. It's putting yourself ahead of them. It's selfishness. We, each and every one of us, have a selfish nature. We're born with it. Self-sacrifice, however, is the willingness to give more than you're able to give. And when you do that, it will stretch your faith. Self-sacrifice is the willingness to for God to partner with him, for him to use you in a way that you don't think you're capable or able of being used. Have you ever felt God ask you to do something and it seemed way bigger or, you know, way beyond what you're capable of doing? And you're like, I'm not doing that. When you do, though, when you allow God to do that, it actually promotes humility or being humble in your life, because it's him through you, not you. And your self-sacrifice is this willingness to deny yourself, to say no to your selfish, sinful nature, and to put Jesus and others ahead of yourself. What that does is it creates discipline or self-control in your life. Self-sacrifice leads us into godly character. It isn't about proving your worth to God so that you can receive from him, because your worth is found in Jesus. Your worth isn't found in your actions or your behaviors. Your actions and behaviors matter, but your self-worth to God is not found there. It's found in Jesus. It's found in Christ. But sacrifice positions you to receive from God. It creates in us the right heart and spirit to receive what he has. And so this morning, I'm going to talk to you We're going to talk about the sacrificial act of fasting. Yeah, right. Right away, yeah, yeah. Amy sarcastically is cheering. fasting. If you don't know what fasting is intentionally going without food and sometimes water or fluid, intentionally going without food in order to seek God. It is a sacrificial act. It's not real fun to talk about because, let's be honest, we like food, right? But it is a sacrificial act. Going without food on purpose. Now, I used to say that I fasted daily. I fast every day. I start sometime after supper. And I go all the way through the night. And then sometime in the morning, I break fast. And then God decided that me being kind of flippant about it wasn't a great idea, because about 5 years ago, he began to challenge me about fasting and that I needed to fast, that it wasn't just something that you can choose, or it's not optional, basically, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. And so I try. I'd love to tell you that I do it all the time, like faithfully. I try to fast one day a week and to go without food. And I do still drink coffee, I'll be honest, because, oh my gosh. I need coffee. And I think God's okay with that. I will find out, yeah. So God began to talk to me about fasting. Pastor Jack Hayford wrote this. It says, the power of the fast is found in the abject humility of people who desire the Lord's way in their lives more than the very bread that sustains their physical body. You know, and I can recognize that in that, you know, God calling me and telling me to fast. Because if you've ever done this, if you've ever you know, fasted food... Fast food, it's not like that. But if you've ever fasted, you know you reach this point where your hunger is driving your thoughts. And there is a wrestle, there is a fight right there of who's going to be in charge. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But that's what this is. It is a wrestle and a fight. It is desiring God, desiring him and his ways in our lives more than the actual food that sustains our physical body. Jesus talks about it like this. He says in Matthew 6, when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable and disheveled so people would admire them for their fasting. I mean, honestly, I read that and I think, when I fast, I am miserable and disheveled. I don't understand. But he says, his point being, anyway, doesn't matter. Let's move on. He says, I tell you the truth. This is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you're fasting, except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. This comes right after Jesus is talking about prayer in Matthew 6. And I think it's very intentional that it follows prayer. Jesus modeled and demonstrated a life of prayer and fasting. And I think in Jesus' mind, he would have never separated the two. It is a continuous conversation. He says to his disciples, this is how you pray. He tells them how to pray. And then he talks about fasting, because to him, you don't separate the two. I think in his mind, he wouldn't have looked at it and said, yes, you should pray, but fasting is optional. I don't think he would have ever said that. It was just an expectation, an understanding that prayer and fasting go hand in hand, and it's something that God's people do. As we fast, we sacrifice. And of course, you notice he says there, you know, when you fast, or whenever you fast, he doesn't say if. He's saying when you do this, there's some expectation. And there's a reward attached to the self-sacrifice of fasting, and we'll talk more about that. You find fasting all through the Bible. And so I want to quickly talk about what, in the Old Testament, what fasting looked like. And meaning what they did it for, what was it, because it really hasn't changed that much. There's little change that I'll describe. So in the Old Testament, in the nation of Israel, they would fast. They had one national, early on, they had one national day of fasting where all of Israel would fast. And it was the Day of Atonement. It was the day where they would sacrifice an animal for the sins of their nation. And so the whole nation would fast, and so they used that fasting as a means to seek God, to approach Him, and offer a sacrifice. And then you'll see that they fasted to find victory in battle. They fasted to set right things that were made wrong. They fasted to be set free from captivity. Later in Scripture, such as in the book of Daniel, you'll see Daniel fasts in order to receive understanding or revelation, supernatural understanding from God. And so these are ways that through the Old Testament that you see fasting being used. This tool, this vehicle that God has provided for us. None of those reasons have changed except one. None of the reasons you fast have changed, that any of us would fast have changed except for one, is that we no longer fast to present ourselves for a day of atonement. Because Jesus is the final sacrifice for us. He is our atonement with the Father. We don't sacrifice an animal anymore to cover our sins. Jesus was the final and last sacrifice for us. And He doesn't just cover our sins. His blood is so effective, it is so powerful that it cleanses us from sin. So we don't fast for that reason anymore. Now, you do fast to prepare your heart and mind to meet with God. You can still fast to find victory in your life. You can still fast to set right things that are made wrong. Do you have a relationship that's gone sideways on you? Fasting is what helps set things right. You can still fast to know, to understand God more, to receive revelation. I asked you the question, what are you willing to give or to give up to know Him more? You want to know His voice. You want His word to come alive to you. Start fasting. I read one time, it was something like this. It says, are you hungry for God? Then start fasting. Because that's how it works in God's kingdom, in God's economy. Fasting still leads to God's victory in your life. It still leads to right things being, wrong things being set right. It still leads to people being set free from captivity. Have you got things in your life that seem to have a hold on you? Fast. Fast and seek God until you're free. This is how this works. And here's why it works this way. Like you can have greater understanding, revelation from God. Here's why. Every human being has three parts. We're all three-part beings. There is our spirit, our soul, and our flesh or our body. Okay? When I say flesh, I'm actually not referring just to this physical body. I'm referring to the biblical definition of flesh, which is the sinful part of us, the rebellious part of us, which it says, it is our sin nature. It is selfish. It is rebellious. It cannot listen to God. That doesn't mean there actually is a place scripturally where your physical body desires God. David says, my heart and flesh cry out for God. So there is a place where your flesh desires God, but it isn't this flesh. I know that sounds funny, but it is the part of your nature that cannot be redeemed. It's why someday we all get new bodies. Some of us are looking forward to that more than others. I'm going to be thin. Anyways. you have a soul. I want to talk about your spirit. Your spirit, before you know Jesus, when you don't know Jesus, your spirit, Scripture describes, is dead or asleep. When you come to trust Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and receive everlasting life, it is your spirit that receives it. It's your spirit that's resurrected. It's your spirit is completely cleansed of all sin. It says in Ephesians that your spirit is seated with Christ in heavenly places. It is your spirit, and your spirit is one with the Holy Spirit. It's the part of you that is holy and perfect and righteous. Your soul is in this process, Scripture says, of sanctification, or becoming more like Jesus. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And in any area of your life, either your flesh or your spirit are looking to influence your soul. This is all about peace within your soul, within your mind, will, and emotions. It's all about peace. Have you ever been stirred up? Have you ever been upset and had to eat? Right? It's late at night. You're not even hungry, but you're opening the fridge looking for something. Do you think that's your spirit telling you to eat? Or your flesh? Trying to bring peace. Because food does make you feel better sometimes, right? Let's be honest. There's all kinds of ways. In all kinds of avenues, our flesh tries to bring peace to our soul. Scripture describes that the flesh and the spirit are at war within us. And the war is over who gets to lead our soul. And we get to choose that. Now, your spirit is one with Holy Spirit, who is a person. Holy Spirit also has thoughts, a will, and feelings. It is possible for you to know what God is thinking, what God wants, and what God is feeling in a moment when you're being led by the Spirit. And that always brings with it a peace that passes all understanding. This is how God has designed us and wants us to work. And this is why fasting is important. This is why fasting brings victory. It's why fasting set things right that have been wrong. It's why fasting releases us from captivity. Because your flesh isn't evil. It actually is trying to bring you peace. It's just bent towards evil now. It cannot bring you a godly answer. And so we fast, we sacrifice this in order to bring your flesh into submission. It's letting your flesh know who's really in charge. And you're going to say, no, God rules me. I want God's ways in my life more than I want physical food, more than I want food that sustains my physical body. This is what I mean by when you will reach a point, if you start fasting, you will reach a point where your hunger drives your thoughts more than prayer. And there is a battle that happens right there that God is looking for us to win, where we push through it and say, I will not let my flesh tell me what I will and won't do. I will let the Spirit of God lead me. We are to be led by the Spirit to think and feel and act as God would want us to. Now, this is a challenge for any one of us in our everyday life. The denial of yourself in the pursuit of God is this discipline. And such as the discipline of fasting is about putting your flesh in the right position, which is last, so that your spirit can lead you, because that's the order it's meant to be in. Our spirit leads us, our soul follows, and our flesh is last, or dead, or crucified. Fasting will help you get that in the right order. Fasting will help you hear God's voice more clearly, to know his guiding and directing for your life. It will bring deliverance and freedom for you. It will bring God's victory into your life. Because consider, if you're being led by the Spirit, where is the Holy Spirit going to lead you? Is he going to lead you into captivity? Of course not, right? He's going to lead you to freedom. He's going to lead you into places where you are redeemed and set free, and you have a greater understanding of who God is, of what he wants from your life, what he's asking for from you. So what are you willing to give or to give up to know him more? Are you willing to give up food? It's amazing how immediate food is for us, isn't it? Because we need it at least once a day, generally, right? Maybe sometimes more. You look at me and you're like, you've eaten more than once a day. And you're right. Fasting is ultimately about trusting God to lead you, but your flesh does not want to accept that solution. Your flesh doesn't want to accept it. Understand, your flesh cannot lead you to godly things. That's why Scripture tells us to crucify it, to kill it, to put it to death. Your flesh wants to give you an answer that is independent from God, but you must bring it into submission. It's yours. It's for you to do. And me, it's an individual thing. It is your will that acts upon it. Fasting tells your flesh that it's not in charge and then makes room for the Spirit to speak to you and lead you into greater ways, into greater things. Romans 14 and 7 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Fasting and self-sacrifice brings us into a greater understanding of righteousness. Being right with God, honestly, is one of the greatest, it will give you the greatest sense of pleasure that you can experience here on earth, is to know that you're right with Him. To have the sense of His rightness within you. To know that He loves you, that He's yours and you are His. There's nothing more satisfying on earth than that sense of, God, I'm good with you. Because that's what we were created for. Fasting will bring you a deeper and greater sense of peace and joy. Now, your flesh completely disagrees with that. I mean, think about it. If you fasted, you're like, there is nothing joyful about this. I am not happy. I find myself regularly apologizing to people when I'm fasting. I'm sorry. I'm sorry because I'm angry. I'm hangry, right? You know, hangry. I'm hungry and angry. I'm hangry. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm not joyful. But the fact is, right? The fact is because my flesh isn't enjoying it. But my spirit is. And if I allow it, it will speak into my soul. And I'll find joy and peace that only God has. The fact is it is actually waiting there for us. Righteousness, peace, and joy is waiting there for us. Fasting doesn't earn it. Fasting only reveals what is already there that God has already provided. Because it puts your flesh back where it's supposed to be. It wasn't God's original design for us, but it's where we're at now. And this is God's solution. And fasting is a tool that we use. If you want to know God more, start fasting. Fasting makes you more sensitive to God's voice and to His leading and prepares you for what He has planned. In Acts chapter 13, this is what happens. It says, "Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." If you want to more effectively hear God in your life, you want to hear Him from it through His Word and by His Spirit, if you want to have a greater sensitivity to Him, start fasting. That you would determine in your soul that He is more important to you than the food that sustains your physical body. It positions and prepares you for what God has in mind. Fasting will actually create in you the desire to do God's will. It will create in you the desire to do God's will. Your flesh will say, that is not at all what we want. Because your flesh wants to eat, right? Fasting will create in you the desire to do God's will. When Jesus is traveling around with his disciples and he goes into Samaria and he ends up at the well, right? And he interacts with a woman there. And his disciples have left him at this point because they went to get food. They went to get food because Jesus had not eaten in several days. And so they are gone and Jesus is alone with this woman at the well. Jesus knows and understands that he has an appointment with this woman, right? And they have this interaction where God speaks to this woman through Jesus and brings greater understanding to her. She even begins to understand that God is actually for the Samaritan or the Gentile as much as he is for the Jew. And then he sends her back to her village to tell people. And then his disciples come back and they say, "Here, Jesus, eat something." And he answers this. He says, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work." Fasting will create in you the desire to do God's will in your life. If you are struggling with something, if something seems to have a hold on you and you can't quite get past it, I would encourage you and challenge you, start to fast on a regular basis. And God will, and it will produce in you the desire to do his will, and God will begin to bring victory into your life. Because there is a satisfaction, there is just a holy pleasure that comes when you do God's will, when you partner with him and he, you know, uses you to bless somebody else, as Jesus did with the woman at the well. And once you've experienced that, you will want more of it. If you want more of those moments in your life, it will require sacrifice. What are you willing to give or to give up in order to know him more? Fasting creates the desire to do God's will because it brings our flesh into submission. And when we're focused on the person of Jesus, it will lead to a spirit-led life. So I got one more point, but before we get there, because then we're going to pray. Before we get there, things that you can fast. Because you can fast things other than food. And I understand that sometimes for certain people, I preach a message like this and you might feel some guilt or because you think, well, I can't fast because of whatever reason. Maybe you have a medical condition or you're on some medication that requires you to take food. That's fine. There's lots of different things you can fast. And if you haven't fasted, let me encourage you to start with like a meal. Okay, skip a meal. Don't start with like the 40-day fast like Jesus did, okay? Or I'll be visiting you in the hospital. So in saying that, you should never do a 40-day fast unless you feel the Lord telling you to, okay? So start somewhere. But you can fast more than food. You can fast a particular food that you like very much. Some of you are like, oh, come on. Serious? Yes. Fast a food you like very much. You could fast coffee, but that would be wrong. Okay. Fast for a day and allow God to lead you. You could fast social media and technology and entertainment. Okay, that's a good thing to fast. I don't think you fast it instead of, you know, food. We actually are called to bring our flesh into submission, but fast social media, entertainment. You can fast busyness, intentionally stopping things in order to be with God. Scripture also teaches us and tells us that we can fast from sex. And I know I just lost a whole bunch of you right there. You're like, no, I was thinking about it till now. But it does. It says those that are married can decide to abstain from sex in order to seek the Lord. There's lots of things that we can fast. Consider that. Here's what I want to get at is ask the Lord what he's calling you to, what he's asking you to sacrifice. Because, and this is the last point, because fasting unlocks a move of God. Fasting unlocks a move of God. Not because we earn it, but because we position ourselves for it. 2 Chronicles 7:14, right? A really familiar portion of Scripture to lots of Christians. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Fasting, self-sacrifice, is an act of humility. It's an act of humility. And the point of fasting isn't to accomplish or earn the thing that you want or desire. Victory will come. Deliverance will come. But fasting is about seeking the face of God. It's about knowing your Father. It's about seeking Him. It's about desiring Him and His will and His ways more than the food that sustains your body. It's about seeking Him. See, sometimes we put the end or the goal before Him. Right? Because we read this scripture and we're all like, God, heal our land. But we haven't sought His face. See, a humble person knows and understands that you cannot actually make God do anything. You can't make Him. Does He want to? He absolutely wants to. But you seek His face. Here's one of the things I've noticed, is that sometimes the answer that I think is right is different than the answer that He has in mind. Because we say, God, heal our land. And what do we think that means? Right? Because we would all have different, but not maybe not, many of us would might have different preconceived ideas of what it looks like for God to heal Canada. And God might be like, you know, just seek my face. Just know me. Just know me. And I'll talk to you. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. And then I will hear, right? You can't make God hear. Does He hear you? Absolutely He does. Right? Earlier in this series, I spent a lot of time saying to you, God does not struggle to hear you, so don't struggle to be heard. Does He hear you? Absolutely. He hears you because He's chosen to hear you. You can't make Him hear you. What you can do is seek His face. We can't make Him heal our land. Does He want to heal our land? Yes, He does. And as you turn to Him, again, part of it is just natural. As you turn to Him, you have to turn away from wickedness. One of the things that God considers wicked is selfishness. Putting ourselves ahead of Him or others. This is why God calls us to fast. Each and every one of us. To seek His face. To know Him. He wants to move in your life. He wants to set you free. He wants to set things right that have been done wrong. He wants to see you in victory. He wants to heal our country. But that's for Him to do. For us is to seek His face. And then listen to His voice. We just do what He tells us to do, whatever that looks like. So, here's what I want from you. I want you to ask the Lord what He wants you to sacrifice, what He wants you to fast, because everybody in this room has something that they're asking God for. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good and appropriate. Just because, you know, it's Jesus, others, and you doesn't mean that you're unimportant to God. It's just, this is the design that we've been created for. Your needs, your wants, your desires matter to Him very much. And so, ask Him what it is He wants you to sacrifice or to give so that you can see a move in your life or the life of a friend or a family member. Because fasting will put you in the right position to receive whatever it is that God has in mind. Fasting will bring you to the place where you will want what He wants. So, I encourage you to start this week, sometime this week. Ask God what it is He wants you to sacrifice. And then start. Well, why wait? Start today. Somebody's like, oh, come on. Some of you were sitting here thinking about what you're going to have for lunch, right? And now you're like, oh. I already fasted this week, so I am having lunch. That's wrong of me. I'm sorry, that's wrong. Anyways, I'm going to invite the worship team to come, and we're going to worship to seek his face, okay? So join with me in prayer as they get into place. Father in heaven, we come to seek you, to seek your face. You are, God, we humble ourselves before you. God, so many times we think we know what's right and best. But God, really, the only right and best answer for us is to know you. To trust you and to stay in step with your leading, with your spirit. Father, I pray for each person here that came in, God, with difficult things in their life. God, help each and every one of us to push those aside and to seek you, to seek you, to seek your face. Trusting that you have the answer to the difficult thing in our life. I pray right now, God, for victory, for deliverance, for healing in Jesus' name. I pray for complete freedom in people's lives right now in Jesus' name. Because, God, it is your good and pleasant and perfect will to do these things for us as we seek you. So, God, we seek you. We want to be up close to you, Jesus. Thank you. Stand.